welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Everybody, this is Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast, and my librarian co-host is
Stacey Mencher,
and we are inviting a guest from across the pond, which is something we just love to say, and we invite her to introduce herself and tell us about her most recent book.
Hi, I'm Radhika Sangani. I'm a writer. And my latest book is called 30 Things I Love About Myself. It is a comedy all about a young woman going on a bit of a self-love journey. Her name is Nina Mystery, and the story kind of starts on her 30th birthday when she ends up in a police cell. and she has to spend the night there after being arrested. And she kind of realizes how bad her life is. And then she kind of gets given the self-help book, and it's the start of this journey where she learns to love herself.
And she gets a book from one of the police officers in the cell, and it's called How to Fix Your Shitty Life by Loving Yourself.
Yes,
I love the title.
Thank you. It is a made-up self-help book, so sadly you can't go and buy that.
Well, yeah, no, it's true. It just makes me think of a fake self-help book from like the late 90s, because I turned 30 about 12 years ago, and it was called You Are Worthless, and it was yeah, and it was, I mean, it's very like tongue-in-cheek and, you know, like not true, but it had things like in it, like, you know, like your shitty pets and just, you know, your worthless children. And it was like, it was very funny, but then at the same time, now thinking about it, I'm like, maybe it wasn't as funny to other people as it was to me.
It all depends on your sense of humor.
Yeah.
But there's a lot in this book, which is kind of like funny, but also like a little sad.
Yeah, I think that just generally, I find a lot of things funny. And even when, you know, in my own life, I'm having my own personal crises or things are going wrong, there's still a little bit of me that's finding it funny. I think like, I just always appreciate the drama of a situation, even if it's terrible. And so like, and also, you know, kind of what you were saying, like, so I love self-help, like I read self-help all the time. But also some of it I can appreciate is quite funny. Like it can be, well, you know, whether it's over the top, or like, you know, next level spiritual, or as you were saying, that kind of like blunt, you know, you're worthless and here's why. I think like, I do find it all funny as much as I love it and completely, you know, it's changed my life. So I wanted to put all of that humor in this book, and I wanted this to be a book that's kind of, you know, inspiring and uplifting, but not really serious. I'm not very good at things that are too earnest.
No, I think that translates really well in your writing of it, because I think it's just so many people, like, just when I first read the synopsis of it, I was like, oh my god, like, I mean, I turned 30 a few years ago, but I was just like, this is, it makes me think of all like the emails you get if you follow, I don't know, like Pop Sugar, like those like websites that are very trending and whatnot. I say that as like I follow The Skim, I follow like Girls Night In, like all these newsletters, and it's always like, oh, here's like, or if any of the magazines like Cosmo or what have you, it's like, oh, here's like 30 things to do before you turn 30. And like, you got to make sure you hit all these things. And here's like what you should really do to get your life on track. And I'm just like, oh my God, this makes me think of that. And like how I obsessively read those and compare my life to it. And it's just, it's funny to kind of like read stuff like that. But when, with reading your book and the cover, I just kept thinking, and like you brought it to my mind again, Jessica, because I read self-help like on and off. I'll mostly like read the titles and skim through it rather than like actual read it, just because I'm like, oh, like I'm a librarian, I have to read a lot. But one of the books that like gets me thinking that is Kelly Catrone had a self-help book of like, if you're gonna cry, like go in the hallway and cry about it, and don't like about like kind of like girl bossing and whatnot, but it made me think of that, of just like, yeah, you could cry and be upset about stuff, just don't show it. And I'm just like, okay, got it. Like, something bad happens at work or like in the family, cry about it later. Got it. Tough face. Yeah.
But you talk a lot, and I like, and one of the things I like about the book also is you do talk a lot about that type of thing, and you know, like, but also like, because Stacey, you like, when you're talking about this, it made me think about it a little bit. A lot of the cultural things in the book are about, you know, like culturally what Nina had been kind of told, you know, is airing your dirty laundry or what you're allowed to talk about, because she really is dealing with a lot.
No, 100%. And like, so just for people who don't know, she's like me, she's British Indian. I just wanted to write about a character who kind of, you know, comes from a similar background to me, because it's not something I see often in fiction. And yeah, her family is like modern and liberal, but also has that kind of traditional side of like, as you said, you know, keep things private. Like, and it's kind of like, I think it is just generally quite a closed community. And I think a lot of like, you know, different ethnicities and like just different communities can be quite closed and kind of hate that idea of like, you know, being really out there with your feelings or being really vulnerable. And it's a societal thing I think we all deal with, but even more so when you come from a community like that. And yeah, I think I just wanted to kind of shed light on that and write about, I guess, someone like me who was brought up in that kind of culture, but also, you know, like I was born in London, like I am British as much as I'm Indian. And I really wanted to explore that, like a character who kind of, you know, that maybe like not all of the values of that community align with them.
Yeah, I certainly got that. And, you know, like you so sensitively discussed depression in Nina's brother, Cal. And it was so raw. And in a way, it was almost like a breath of fresh air, because I feel like you rarely see depression depicted in such a like honest way, but also in a book that has like these funny parts.
Yeah. And I think that's it again. It's like, you know, depression is horrific, but also you can be somebody with a sense of humor that has depression, or you can be someone with a sense of humor who has a loved one going through depression. And like,
definitely.
And you know, I think I just kind of wanted to be able to explore it in a way that when you're reading it, you get the full impact, but you're also not like crying in bed. Cause like, I often read books that I'm just like, oh God, but you know, it was an incredible book, but by the end I'm like, I'm tired and I feel sad. I wanted to write a book where when you read it, even though serious big stuff is happening, you don't go away feeling like exhausted. I hope that when you finish my book, you feel kind of like—
You did a great job with that. But I also think you have very relatable characters, which like as I'm reading, like more books that are coming out these days, like as you said, like some, it's a raw serious subject, but they could be, you know, comedic, they could be like funny. Not everyone who's depressed is going to be hunched over as like, not that listeners could say like, but I'm like, you know, like sitting in a room like,
right,
as I bring my cardigan over my face as if I'm in a blanket. But it's not that, and it hits everyone differently and people react to it, and you're bringing light to like, here's an example of something and how people live with things, whether it's themselves or a loved one and how they react and everything that's going on. And I think that's awesome to do, because it's, you know, you're opening up, and as you said, you wanted to bring to light some of the stuff like culturally of growing up like this. And you don't have to be British Indian to relate to that.
No.
Like it could be a cross culture, which I think is a great thing. And I know readers really like that, because like just myself reading, I like reading about other stuff of just like, I'm from Long Island, New York, white girl, like, okay, this is, but I like reading other experiences. I find it very eye-opening and enjoyable. And when I relate to it, it just makes it sink in deeper. And yeah. Like, I'm just like, yeah, this story, like, and then, you know, I'll remember and be like, oh my God, you got to read this. Like, so that's one aspect of why I will recommend your book, aside from like, oh my God, the writing was so fun. And like, you know, there's serious moments, but then you have, you know, the lightheartedness, like you said, you don't leave like, oh, I'm exhausted, that drained me so much. Like I need days to recover and to watch so much Masked Singer on TV to recover from this. But you could just be like, you know, it's a great book. It covers, you know, there's something for everyone, I feel, in it.
Yeah, thank you. Firstly, I'm so glad you enjoyed it that much and that you will recommend it. Yay. but two, yeah, I think I, like, about the cultural stuff as well, like, I'm like you, like, I love reading books about so many different cultures set in different countries. Like, I just love it. I feel like I get to read a story that's relatable in some way, but then also kind of learn about something new at the same time.
100%. Yep.
Exactly. Like, it's like a combination. But the thing that I wanted to do as well is, like, so often when I read a book about, like, I guess, like, with Indian characters or kind of linked to that part of the world, it's all quite, like, trauma-based or quite, like, intense, like, arranged marriage or, like, mm-hmm. honor things or, like, I don't know, like, just really serious, big, scary stuff. And, like, I just wanted to write a book where the family happens to be Indian, you know? Yeah. Like, the characters are doing their thing. They've got relatable lives that we can all relate to. Like, they're going through issues that are just very kind of normal. It's just they happen to be of color. So that's something I also really wanted to do.
I loved them. So Nina's mother and her aunt were just beyond relatable to me. First of all, I mean, in the unfortunate way, just the whole like weight needling.
Yeah.
Is something, yeah. And I know I see Stacey nodding too, because we talk about it a lot. You know, there'll be times, or there had been times, when like I'm out with my mother and I'll be taking a bite of one of my kids' ice creams and she'll be like, you don't need that. And I'm like, It makes me happy. So maybe I do. But you know, when you're a kid and you're hearing that, and even when you're an adult and you're hearing that, it still like seeps in. But Rupa, who is was Nina's mom, like she had so many other parts to her. Like when you first start reading the book, you're like, oh my gosh, this woman is a monster. All she's doing is berating her child. And then like you get to know her better and you're like, man, you know, I wonder what you know, like what patterns she witnessed that kind of brought her to that. And then like she has her aunt, which is Rupa's best friend, who's just very funny, and the two of them get along and you're just like, how do these puzzle pieces fit together so well?
Yeah.
I'm so glad you liked those characters, because to be honest, they were the two characters that were the most fun for me to write. I think Auntie Trish, just because she's like a happy, funny, like a character that's very much herself, and Rupa, because she just, as you said, she comes out with these terrible lines, like she's kind of awful. It was fun to write that. But also, yeah, like as you said, and I think it is relatable, like, oh my gosh, like I won't talk about my mom because, you know, I don't think she'll like that, but she has definitely like made the odd comment to me over the years that it isn't that nice. And also it's what my friend's mums do as well. Like I just think it's quite normal that mums mm-hmm. can be quite like brutal with their daughters particularly. And I don't see that represented that often. I saw it in the film Lady Bird and I loved that. And I was like, oh my God, finally, like a mother-daughter relationship that makes sense to me. I feel like in pop culture, like mums are always so lovely and warm and kind and soft and cozy. And I'm like, okay, like great if you've got a mum like that, but I want to write a book for people that don't have that mum.
Yeah, it's so funny you say that, because we're talking about like the comments about weight. My mom now does it to my husband. Wow. Saying about my child, and my child's not even two yet, so whatever about that. But it's just, it's so funny because my mom was saying something, because my mom just had me and my sister, and my mother-in-law just had two boys. Okay. So my mom's like, it's different. She's like, I'm your mom, I could do this, you're my daughter, like I could say these things. And I'm like, no, you can't, you're doing it anyways. Okay, like this is how you are.
It's so funny.
Love her, but I'm just like.
And like, I think that's what I wanted to convey with Rupa as well, that like, as awful as she is, she 100% loves her daughter. And, you know, Nina loves her back. And it's just that thing where it's separate to love. It's not like, you know, the love is still there. It's just really annoying.
Yeah.
And again, there's just, you know, because I know this from my own family. And I know like Stacey and I, like when we talk about generational books, it came from somewhere. I love my grandmother so much. She's 97, not doing so well. But I do love her very much. And I know that I have a lot in common with how she was. And then on the other hand, I saw her needle my mother about weight. And she did it to me too when I was a kid. And you just kind of are like when you read a book like this and then like you can relate to it again, cross-culturally, you're just like, wow, there's this history, there's like this succession of things that, you know, you can like, you can write about this in a very funny way, but it's also a little painful. And you're just like, you know, going forward, this might be something we want to stop doing, or at least try to, because you know, the love is there, but like when the inclination, and even like the inclination to like hate yourself, which is kind of something that, you know, comes up a lot. Like maybe you have to kind of make a barrier there and be like, nope, stop. Like this is in my mind. I've seen this, witnessed, I've felt this. And now that I recognize it, now is when I'm going to pull the plug on it.
100%. I really think like that is what you're saying. Like once you're aware of it, then it actually can start to stop, you know, just because the second you're aware, like it takes the personal sting out of it. And you're like, oh, wait, this is not just like my mom telling me I'm fat because I'm fat and she's being mean. It's like, oh, this is a pattern she's learned. And then you kind of take the personal out of it. And you can, as you said, you see the pattern across generations, you see the cycle, and then you can break it. Mm-hmm. And it's what I think boundaries, like as you were speaking, the one word that was like flashing in my head was like boundaries. I know. Love boundaries. And I think like, again, like it's not something I explore explicitly in the book, like, cause you know, it's not self-help, it's very much a novel, but I do think that's something like Nina also goes on a journey to learn, that she learns a certain way to speak to her mom, and like that she's still going to go ahead and do things anyway, even if her mom completely disagrees with them. Like she still eats the chocolate, you know, like she still does what she wants. And I think, yeah, it's ultimately about building up your own like positive view of yourself so that you don't fall into the self-hate. And if you can stay in that like positive foundation of feeling good about yourself, then actually it's a lot easier to deal with all this other stuff.
Yeah. I think, Stacey, you brought up a good point earlier about those lists, like the pop sugar lists. And I get them too. Like, you know, like 30 things you have to do.
All the time.
Right.
And then I'm like, I'm over 30, but this is still relevant to me.
Because that comes up a lot in the book, like with both Nina and Cal, like where you're supposed to be at a certain age.
It's just also like the societal pressure of stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, I have a good friend of mine, lover, this is not like anything negative, but like, you know, she feels under pressure of like, oh, okay, you're a certain age. Like, why are you not married? Why no kids? Why no, like, what's happening? And you don't have to be that. Like, I just like the message that to me that I got from the book is that like, you know, everyone's different. You're allowed to go through whatever you're going through feeling. And it's okay to love yourself with that. And you don't need to change yourself to fit these ideals or, you know, what's put on you by whether family, friends, strangers. Like, I really like resonated with that because it's just, I have one child. And then from, I think like once my son was, I'm trying to think how old he was, maybe like 6 months, my mom's like, so I'm a second child. And I'm like, this is not even a year. What? And then I'm just like, what? Like, calm down. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, I'll call my mom by her first name when she annoys me. I'm like, calm down. Robin. Spoiler alert, that's my mom's name, everyone. Not that she listens to this, but that's fine. But it's just like, you know, it really makes sense. Like, you know, the things I love about myself, like the list of the things, like, oh, make sure you're all this by this age. 20 things for when you're 20s, like those stuff, like here's things to love about your, like it teaches you kind of do that. You say it's not a self-help book, it's a novel, 100%,
yeah,
but you can, you know, get life lessons from it and learn to love yourself.
I mean, like I always joke that I've kind of like secretly disguised a self-help book as a novel in this. Like I've snuck the messages in. And yeah, I really struggle with that societal pressure, like on every single level. And I always have. And I'm like, I actually just had a breakup and I'm 31. And I was like, oh God, like, no, I thought you'd be the person I'd be with forever. Like, no, now what? Like, I'm back at zero. Like, what do I do? And obviously, like, as well as the grief of the breakup, to have that extra layer is just horrible. And I almost had to like go back to my book and like remember the like the messages in it and be like, okay, like this is what I need to do. And it's like, I just think it's so hard when society just, and I think particularly to women, you know, the whole thing about your marriage status, the children thing, like mm-hmm. you just get this pressure and it's just, it's like hard enough living it without people adding this stuff onto you. And what I always try and do is have role models who have lived life in a different way. And that doesn't mean I'm going to do exactly what they did or like, you know, I'll never get married, never have a family. I have no idea. And that's kind of what I'm accepting. Like, I have no idea. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to not know. Like, personally, my favorite ever role model is Elizabeth Gilbert. I just think she's the wisest person ever. And I just, her whole thing is that like her life just didn't go to the plan that she thought it would, but it's been incredible. And she's just like lived every stage of it. And she's now in her 50s. And I think she's twice divorced and once widowed. And I'm like, wow, like that's not a journey anyone expects to happen.
Yeah.
And so like, what am I trying to do? Like age 31, like desperately trying to control every aspect of my life. I just need to calm down and let it be. And yeah, I hope that's a message that people get from the book as well.
I like that you have role models that live lives differently, because not everyone has like, you know, the cookie cutter, here's your life, here's the plan, everything's going according to plan. Because as we all know, that like never happens. But exactly. As soon as you were saying that, I thought of two people. One of them is Glennon Doyle.
Yes.
Who has become like a role model, idol person that I'm just like, oh my God, I love you.
Yes.
Because she didn't know her life was going to turn out this way, and now she's loving her life, and you want to be happy and enjoy, like that's like the main thing, like enjoy your life and live it, YOLO. I kind of throw that in somewhere. But the other person, oh my God, Jessica, you would know her name. We interviewed her, something Rose Napolitano, that author.
Rose Napolitano, the
Nine Lives
of.
Author we interviewed,
Donna Freitas.
Yes. So she wrote a book about like the what if suggestions of like this couple, what if they do have a kid, what if they don't have a kid, like all the different things that could go, like, you know, kind of sliding doors. Yeah. Like, what if you do this, what if you do that? And it always makes me think, like, okay, like almost as like a pros and cons list, like in my head of like making a life decision, big or small. But it's just like, okay, like if you do this, this could happen. If you do that, but like, you know, she's not doing the norm of like, okay, like, yeah, I'm going to get married, have babies, white picket fence. Like that's not for everyone. And it shouldn't be put on everyone, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But it's just like, to me, like, I think about, like, I think you learn more learning and reading about people who kind of go off the beaten path of like,
yeah,
I don't want to say the standard life, but of like,
expected.
I guess what is expected of people at certain points, like and I think people are better off for learning and knowing all about that. And kind of what, pulling it back to your book of just reading something like this, it from many points of view of just, you learn, you relate, and you could connect, which should make everyone a better person, which is the goal also, as well, aside from living a happy life.
Oh, I love that. And like, I'm so glad you agree on the role model thing. I think especially when like everyone around you in your own personal life, like whether it's friends or family, is doing the expected way, then you can feel really lonely if yours isn't going to plan. Like, one, either because you don't want it to go, because you want something different, or two, you want what they have, it's just not happened for you. It can be, you know, both of those.
Yeah.
And yet that's why I always just think it's so good to find it elsewhere, whether it is in fiction or like, you know, nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it saved me, definitely, like knowing that there are other people out there, whether they're invented or real, who are living different lives. I'm just like, oh, thank God, like I'm not alone.
Yeah.
So a few things I just wanted to bring up really quickly. You humanize an internet troll in your book.
I do.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was interesting. I was not expecting that. Why? I'm not saying that in a bad way, but where did that come from?
So, spoiler, my character ends up going on a date with a troll by mistake, like an internet troll who's trolled her. And I think, do you know why I did it actually? Because so as a journalist, I get trolled all the time. Like I write a lot of opinion pieces and sometimes quite feministy, you know, kind of left wing pieces. And I just get trolled the entire time. And they're really brutal comments. But then sometimes these same trolls that like hate me and tell me how hideous and awful I am, sometimes they'll like then DM me like a few months later and I'll realize it's the same one. And they're like, hey, do you want to go for a drink? I'm like, what? Honestly, it blows my mind. And it just, I find it so funny. And it made me realize that like, there's more to this than I think. Like trolling is not just straightforward, you're a horrible, evil person saying mean things. It's like, mm-hmm. you're a person going through something and you've just got some major issues and you have no idea how to express it.
Oh, definitely.
And I guess I just got a bit fascinated by the topic and I thought it would be fun.
It was so fun. I mean, it was very funny. It really was.
It's something you don't see happen a lot. So it's kind of like, ooh, what's going on?
And also like, I wanted to like, I guess offer some hope. That, like, if you are the kind of person that has done that, like, you can be redeemed. Like, I don't really agree with the whole cancel culture thing of when you do one bad thing, you're done forever. Mm-hmm. Like, I prefer the idea that there is a way to kind of, like, you know, rehabilitate yourself, if you will. Like,
no, I agree with that.
Yeah. Nina herself gets, quote unquote, like, you know, she goes viral and there's just this love-hate relationship with the internet and her. Like, first they're like, we can't stand Nina. And then they're like, we love Nina. And then it's like, Nina, go on television. Now we're mad at you again.
Totally. That's
realistic.
I think it is representative of how fickle it is. Like, oh my God, just even watching it as an outsider, you know, when you watch it happen to certain celebrities and you're just like, this is exhausting. Like just reading about it, I can't even imagine how it must be to live it in such an extreme way. Yeah.
I never want to imagine that. Oh.
One last thing I want to bring up, because I think that this is something you would want to talk about as well, Stacey. Astrology.
Yes,
there you go. I can't finish this without talking about astrology. There's astrology in the book.
Yes, I am. I organize all the chapters like by zodiac signs rather than, you know,
I love that.
So are you into astrology yourself?
Yes, I love astrology. I wasn't always, like, I used to be quite skeptical about it, but then I ended up writing an article about it and as a journalist, like exploring it as a trend. And then I spoke to some astrologers for the article and everything they said to me was so on point that I was like, oh my God, like you've convinced me. And now I love it. Like I don't take it ridiculously seriously, but I kind of just believe in it. And I just, it to me, it's like another tool, you know, like it's just another option. And if it helps you, amazing. If it doesn't, like, cool, just leave it and it's not for you. But personally, I think it's a really lovely way to kind of explore yourself. You know, having a birth chart read just like really helps you, because a birth chart isn't just your standard star sign, which is where the sun is when you were born. It's where all the planets were when you were born. So you get this like real picture of why your personality is the way it is. And I think it's just a really cool way to kind of explore more about yourself.
Awesome. Well, this book was a lot of fun. Are you working on another book at the moment?
I am, yes. I've just finished the first draft.
Exciting.
Yeah, and without meaning to, I've ended up writing about families again, and there's another terrible mother.
Oh, is she a redeemable, terrible mother, though?
Yes, always. Okay. To be determined. No spoilers, Jessica.
I'm sorry. No spoilers. She may be. She may be a redeemable, terrible mother. Who knows? We don't know. Maybe. Anyway, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
When does 30 Things I Love About Myself come out officially?
So in the US, it's on the 4th of January.
Excellent.
Happy half birthday to me. Not really.
and a good way to begin the new year. So once again, this was Jessica with Syosset Libraries from the Page Podcast. My librarian co-host was
Stacey.
And our guest and our guest across the pond was
Radhika Sangani. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We are going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.